All right, welcome. Good to see you guys. Paul, Gloria, Toby, Henry, Bubby, and Zadie, Erwin, Mayor, Melissa, iPhone, it's Dawn. And okay, welcome, guys. So we find ourselves, oh wow, Zadie looks really glitchy on your end. We find ourselves on Lamed Amud Aleph on 30A, which since the Masechta finishes on Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. Oh, for some reason I thought there was another base. Alamed Beis Amud Aleph on 32A. Yes, that means we are swiftly approaching the end of the Masechta. I don't know if I should say swiftly because we're going at the same pace as we've always been going at. But just remember, February 26th, that's when we will, God willing, have our team at the shul. Marina, we should connect to discuss that, God willing, because it's almost February. So, all right. Now, I just wanted to address one point that we left off with last time before jumping into the Gemara. And again, I think possibly Irwin, the reason I'm sharing this is because A, it is relevant to what we're discussing, and B, Irwin brought this to my attention. He Irwin, right? You called, is Irwin on yet? Oh, he's not on, so someone's just
No,
gonna.
I'm here.
Oh, it's that, you know what? I was looking for your number. It actually says Irwin
Oh.
this time. It's right over. Okay. So, Irwin, remember you called me over at the 8 o'clock minyan one Shabbos, and you said, it looks like there's inconsistency. I don't know where the Aliyah begins and ends. Arsworld says this, this coin says that. So the
And we
question
could have
is,
built for two ravines, and you decided to opt for one.
right. So we possibly like the art scroll apparently. But the question is, you know, where these different Aliyah markers come from? Like, was it always consistent? Is it Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai? Did Moshe get this in our Sinai? That, well, did Moshe have the whole Torah in our Sinai? That you have to come to Thursday morning class. That's when we're discussing that. But shut Shannon to another room. Okay. So to address that, it would seem from what we've been learning in our previous sugyos that it wasn't so obvious where an aliyah begins and where it ends. Now, as we will see momentarily in the Gemara sometimes gives us a clue of when it's supposed to be done. For instance, Hazinu, where I believe we're given the aliyos. We're going to see in Kisisa, we're going to be told kind of where the first aliyah ends. But by and large, there's no programmatic list that Chazal absolutely give us precisely when an aliyah begins and when it ends. And that seems to be the basic understanding. By the way, that's why, you know, when we do Hosafos, if we do Hosafos, should we need to do that ever? That's why we're not violating any Isser by splitting up an aliyah. What you're supposed to do, basically, even the Gra talks about this in Ma'aser Rav, She'em Simon by Parshios HaNershamim B'Chumash. So where it's, you know, you could see in the text itself, it's either a sasum or it's a besucha, it's open. So those are places that are much more reasonable to pause the aliyah at, or wherever thematically it makes sense. However, there is I never actually heard of this sefer, but there's a sefer called the Tikkun Yisachar. Maybe it's some Chassidish sefer, I don't know. Anyone know it? So the sefer called the Tikkun Yisachar. He apparently lived in Tzfas along with the Beis Yosef. So the Beis Yosef was not the only game in town. He's the main game in town, I suppose. But just to give you an idea, apparently I'm learning new things also here. He lived in Tzfas around the same time as the Beis Yosef. So what does he suggest? He suggests that these pauses in the Chumash for the seven aliyos was nisnu kvar al yedei ha-ge'onim, was already pre-established by the ge'onim. V'hafsakos l'sheva ach mod yishur. So one suggestion is that it goes as far back, at least on Shabbos, as the ge'onim go. Okay, so the ge'onim is, you know, it's post-Talmudic, but it's not, it's the era after the Talmud, basically. Sabarayim. And then there's a suggestion in there. He writes that he heard from a chacham echad, from one wise man, that she Ezra HaSofer tikin hafsakos elu, that it was Ezra HaSofer. Now we're going pre-Talmudic, that it was Ezra who instituted when these aliyahs begin and when they end. The issue with that is that in the Sefer Keser Shem Tov, he rejects this, he repudiates this idea that it could have been instituted by Ezra, because Shagamar Mavorshav Eretz Yisrael Hayim Messiah V'Satorah Achaz L'Shosh Shanim, because as we learned in last week's Gemara, we learned that in Israel, they would only finish the Torah reading once every 3 years, not once every year. So clearly, they were using different aliyos than we are using in order to split up a part, to cover an entire parsha in 1 week. So there's something else going on over here. It would seem that these aliyos are a later innovation, maybe the times of the Gaonim. But unless it is strictly legislated by the Gemara, which it generally is not, then basically we have, I wouldn't say free reign, there's still general guidelines that it should thematically make sense where you break up the Aliyah. And like the Vilna Gaon said, if it's a Sasum or it's Pasuach, so then you go with those. Okay, so that's relevant for a lot of what we're talking about, because we are going to be talking still about Torah reading. So hopefully you've had the chance to open up your Gemaras by now. We are on Lamed Element Aleph 30a, and we are still in the top portion of the page as usual. We are up to the words Chalios Bechi Sisa, which is maybe a little over 10 lines, maybe roughly 10 lines down from the top. I would wager it's still in the first section of the art scroll. Okay, so all right. Well, what we're going to talk about right now is what happens if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Kisisa itself. As we learned last time, you know, a little bit of background just to refresh our memory. During the month of Adar, starting with Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read four special parshios. Which in conclusion, we will realize, not at this point in the Gemara, but in conclusion, we recognize that these are Maftir, Aliyos, and Haftorot. So we have Shkalim. So we mentioned, what's the reason of Shkalim? Because Shlosh Yom Kodem Lechag, people have to start giving their donations for the new offerings, new public offerings. So that needs to be in there by Nisan. So we start 30 days prior to that. So we read Parshas Shkalim to make everyone aware that they should be donating their shkalim. Then we have Parshas Zachor, which we'll talk about in the Gemara, but generally it's meant to precede Purim. That way we learn about the idea of destroying Amalek right before Purim, when we have the mitzvah of, we bang during Haman, because Haman is a descendant of Amalek. And then we have Parshas Para, which teaches us, the law makes us more conscious about the laws of purity, because we're soon going to be Ola Regal and go up to Yerushalayim in order to bring the Karban Pesach. And then we have Parshas Kodesh, which of course is about the beginning of Nisan. So it's at the beginning of Nisan. All right, so those are the four Parshias. So right now we are still talking about Parshas Shkalim, but soon we will be talking about Parshas Zachor for a good chunk of the time. And then we'll wrap up with the final ones. Okay, any general, everything we do issues forth from this premise. So I just want to make sure it's clear. Anything I do in terms of clarifying the partios, when we do them, why we do them? I mean, the Gemara will talk more about when precisely we do them. But anything, this is a good time
I don't recall whether you discussed this, but weren't the Goyim the ones that set up the different parshas, the different chapters?
Chapters, you are correct. The chapters, but that's why for halachic purposes, even though we kind of adopted their organization in terms of chapters, it has no halachic standing. Now, it may very well be that an aliyah sometimes will end where a chapter ends, because thematically it makes sense to end there. But yet you are correct. Thank you for pointing out, Erwin, that the chapters are not Jewish in origin. But you can look at like the frumest Chumash possible, and they probably make use of the chapter system. So, yeah, good point.
It's my understanding that the chapters were adopted by us because the Goyim, being firmly convinced that they were right and we were wrong, wanted to constantly debate with us. And so we adopted the chapters to have the same points of reference to give them their debates.
You're saying is that whenever Ramban had to debate Pablo Christiani, so then they had to just see where that's coming from. Okay. All right, very good. Let's get into the Gemara. So, Chal Yos Bechi Sisa. So, again, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read Parsha Shkalim. So, let's say, what is Parsha Shkalim? After a very lengthy debate, we finally concluded, in accordance with Shmuel, that Parsha Shkalim is Parsha's Ki Sisa, because it talks about bringing Shkalim and donating. So, let's say, Chal Yos Bechi Sisa Atma. Let's say Rosh Chodesh Adar actually falls out on Ki Sisa itself. So we have the issue of redundancy. That how is it that we could be reading Kisisa as the Parshas of Shavua, and then we're also reading Kisisa for Shkalim? So how do we make sure that it is clear that we are doing so for the purpose of Parshas Shkalim, and not just because it happens to be the weekly Parsha? So there's like a lot of background.
And it's theoretical, because today that cannot happen.
Yes, that is true, Henry. Thank you. It's good to have Bali Kriya on here to help me out with that. Okay. Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafka. So we have two opinions. Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Kor Shisa Minva Sisa Abayakel. V'chad Kor Michi Sisa Abayasisa. So one opinion is that you don't start from the beginning of the Parsha. You start from the second Aliyah, and you read six Aliyos till the end of Parsha Kisisa. And then we go back to the beginning of Kisisa and read from the words Kisisa until the end of the first Aliyah. Masgla Abaye disagrees for the reason that may occur to all of us. Hasha, I mean, I'm afraid of the Kari. That doesn't sound right, because then you're just going out of order. Now, what's interesting, by the way, I didn't look into this, is that Abaye's contention from just my reading of the Gemara makes it sound like the issue is optics, that, you know, people are going to say that that's not the right order. But there might be inherently an issue with reading a parsha out of order as well, just the Yotzi Kriya Satora. Anyway. Elamar Abaye, Karushisa Abayakel, Bachatani Bikar Michi Sisa Abasisa. So what's Abaye say? You read six Aliyos from the beginning of Kisisa to the end of the Parsha. And then, as the seventh Aliyah, we then go back and reread the first Aliyah. So that way, people say, hey, why are we reading the first Aliyah over again? And only that. Parsha Shkalim. But there won't be the pitfall, of course, of reading the Parsha out of order. So that way Abaye satisfies both the Parshas HaShavua as well as making a distinct Aliyah for Parshas Shkalim. And in fact, there's a Braisa that is in accordance with Abaye. Tanya Kavasa di Abaye, Chaliyos Bechisisa Atma, Koronosa Bekoflosa. Like Abaye said, we read and we repeat. What's the mean we repeat? We repeat the first Aliyah. So it's obvious why we're repeating it, for the purpose of Parshas Shkalim. Good. That brings us to the end of that section. In the next section, the Gemara, we are now going to talk about when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos. So just a little bit of background. Well, we get a little bit of a quotation from our Mishnah. Chal Yos Besocha Shabbos Magdimen L'Shabbos Sha'avra. So if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out within the... Okay, by the way, just a quick little rabbinic Hebrew lesson. Very confusing. The word Shabbos, sometimes in rabbinic Hebrew, means Shabbos as in Saturday. Sometimes Shabbos means, like when we say Besocha Shabbos, within Shabbos, it could be referring to the week. Like instead of saying the Shavua, it says the Shabbos, which refers to the week, which is super confusing. And because of that ambiguity, there's going to be two different reads of what our Mishnah actually means. So I hate to confuse you. I apologize. I'm going to do my best. It's one of those head spinning Gemaras. And by the way, I actually looked in my volume of Art Scroll Megillah. There's actually a really handy table at the end of this sugya that actually shows you all the possible different four permutations of how the Shabbosim can fall, how the readings can fall out. So I don't know if you guys have it in your editions. It's probably toward the end of. Is that it, Henry? You got it?
I've got it on 13B.
13. Oh, interesting. It sends you back.
30. I'm sorry. 30. Forgive me. 30B.
Yeah, because that's where we're going to end tonight, God willing. So that's the end of the sugya. So anyway, you could look at it now or you could look at it afterwards. But once we're done sifting through the Gemara, that's a very helpful way just to see in conclusion what the four different potential permutations are. But how do we get to these really fancy different kind of possibilities? Well, that's what we're figuring out in the Gemara right now. So, Chalias Besocha Shas Magdima Shabbos Avra. The basic reading would be if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out in the middle of the week, what do? We go back to the previous Shabbos, meaning we will read within the Shabbos of the previous month instead of the month of Adar. So Itmar, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechayos Be'erev Shabbos, Rav Amar Magdimin, Shmuel Amar Ma'achrim. So here's the thing. I know if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out, let's say on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, then we read Shkalim the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. But, and if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos itself, no need to move it because, perfect, it fell out on Shabbos itself. We read on Aleph Adar, we read part of Shkalim. The issue is, the ambiguity is what happens if it falls out on Erev Shabbos. So, like, just missed the finish line. Are we gonna go all the way back to the previous Shabbos and schedule Parsha Shkalim for the previous Shabbos 6 days back? Or are we just gonna say, all right, we're close enough. Or, you know, we're Samach to Shabbos. Just read it on the second day of Adar, Parsha Shkalim. So that's the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, a rule's a rule. You have to read Shkalim on the previous Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. Shmuel says, just push Shkalim one day forward and read it on Shabbos. Big deal. It's a day after Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's the logic between both of them? Rav Amar, Magdimin, De'imkin, Batzilu, Yom HaShulchan, Yom HaShulchan. So you have to remember, why again are we reading Parsha Shkalim on Rosh Chodesh Adar? Because on the 15th, all the people with their tables and whatnot are set up. So we have to make sure that there's adequate time for people to be aware of giving in their donations. And Shmuel says, no, you can push off one day. You don't have to worry about losing time by not giving people enough time before the money exchangers come. In the end, what's going to happen? If Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos, then so the 15th is going to fall out on Erev Shabbos, which means that the money exchangers will have to stay for the weekend and they can only leave the following Sunday. And therefore, we don't lose anything by pushing off Shabbos, the Shkalim reading to one day later to Shabbos. It's not like there's going to be less awareness because the Shulchanos, those people who are coming in to do the money exchanging for the donations to the Beis HaMikdash, what will happen is they'll have to stick around anyway for the weekend, an extra 2 days. So you're not missing any days by reading Shkalim a day later. That's what Shmuel says. Now, I didn't warn you guys. This is a bit of a head spinner. So now what we're going to try to do is we're going to do two things. We're going to do one thing with two parts to it. We're going to try to determine who's right, Rav or Shmuel. When Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Friday, do we read Shkalim on the previous Shabbos or we read on the upcoming Shabbos? So we're first going to try to see if we could make a determination based on the language of our Mishnah. Spoiler alert, we will not be able to. Then we're going to try citing an external passage from a Braisa, and we'll see if we have any success with that in determining whether Rav or Shmuel is correct. So from our Mishnah, we said, Chal Yos Besocha Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out in middle of the week, Makdim in L'Sha'avar, we push it back to the previous Shabbos. That the previous Shabbos we read Shkalim, Umavsik in the Shabbos Acheres, and then we take a break until then. Next week there's nothing special, and then the following week we have Parsha Zachor before Purim. So what do I see from what the Mishnah tells me? My lav afilu be'erev Shabbos. The Mishnah only makes a distinction between weekdays and Shabbos, i.e., Saturday. That means that why should Friday be different than the rest of the week? It would seem from a simple reading of the Mishnah, even Friday, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Friday, you would still have to go back to the previous week and schedule Shkalim before Adar. So what would Shmuel respond? Lo besoch haShabbos dafka. Shmuel says the term besoch means in middle of. So Friday is not in middle of the week. You know, maybe other days of the week we could say are in the middle, but besoch implies that it's a regular weekday. Friday is not, from a Jewish calendar standpoint, Friday is not a typical weekday. And so Friday, you can't infer with 100% certainty that that's actually what the mission intends, that if Rosh Chodesh rolls out even on Friday, that you have to schedule for the previous Shabbos. That's Shmuel's deflection. So no clear-cut proof from our Mishnah either way. However, the simple reading does seem to support Rav. Shmuel is clearly on the defensive over here. And that's going to be a theme that we see. Toshima, next attempt. Ezohi Shabbos Rishona, what is considered to be the first Shabbos, the first week? Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liyos Besocha. And even if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Erev Shabbos, that's still considered week one, meaning the previous Shabbos was Shkolin. So all the other days through Friday are considered week one. This would seemingly, my love, afilu be'erev Shabbos, David Basuch Matibet, Aver Shabbos Matibet, would seem from this brisa very clearly that even on Erev Shabbos, Friday is no different than Sunday through Thursday. And the same way Sunday through Thursday, Rosh Chodesh rolls out, you reach Shkolin the previous Shabbos, so too Friday. However, how would Shmuel deflect this? Amar Shmuel, just play around and change the gear so a little bit, change the text. But the Chayin Tana Dvei Shmuel, but I didn't skip it. Did I skip the section? No. Okay. And of course, Dvei Shmuel unsurprisingly agrees with Shmuel on it. I'm not sure anyone can see the Hebrew of that. And the Dvei Shmuel agrees with Shmuel. I'm sure they do. I'm not sure what the significance of that is. Maybe someone knows. But the point is, what does Shmuel do? We have to go back and reread the Braisa. Take out the word besocha and replace it with the word ba. In fact, by the way, just take out a few letters and leave in the beis and hey and read it with ba. How does Shmuel read the Braisa? Ezohi Shabbos Rishona. What is considered to be now Shabbos doesn't mean week. The week, Shabbos means actual Shabbos. Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liyos Ba Vafil Ber Shabbos. What's considered the first Shabbos in which we read Parsha Shkalim? If either Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos itself, Ba, or on Erev Shabbos, then that Shabbos becomes the Shabbos that you read Parsha Shkalim, which if you buy Shmuel's changed Girsa, so then this actually neatly supports you. The issue is, it's Shmuel again is fighting an uphill battle because he's trying to alter the accepted text of that braisa to fit his agenda on the matter. Kitanai, it would seem actually that oftentimes we see this in the Gemara that a machlokis of Amorayim of Talmudic scholars, oftentimes we could try to trace it back. Fundamentally, that the principles they're arguing under are really the same as a machlokis between two tanaim of a Mishnah or a Braisa. So, what is this machlokis? Misargin l'shabbosos divrei Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Yehuda Hanasi says that we are okay skipping Shabbosim. What do you mean skipping Shabbosim? One week we'll have Parsha Shkalim. The next week we'll take a break, nothing special, on the Luach. And then the next week, we have Parsha Zachor. So, you know, like Seirugin, you'll see that sometimes like in Hilchos Nida, when we talk about, a woman when she expects her vesa, like the term comes up in other places. So Rishon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Misargin. Rishon ben Elazar says we do not skip between different weeks. We don't take a break. Now, what does it mean we don't take a break? Because, again, if you look at your charts, by the way, look at those tables in the art scroll. I'm pretty sure all of them show that you're going to be taking a break at least 1 week in the schedule. So what does he mean? Our Shimon Elazar clarifies, what does he mean? Emasani Omer Emasargin. What do I mean that we don't take a break? He means you don't take a break between Shkalim and between Zachor. When do you not take a break between Parsha Shkalim and Parsha Zachor? That's when Shkalim falls out on Erev Shabbos. When it falls out in the middle of the week, we go back to the previous week, even though that's the month of Shvat. Point being is, we see Rosh Hashanah Elazar explicitly says that Erev Shabbos, we read, when Rosh Chodesh falls on Erev Shabbos, we read Shkalim on the coming Shabbos. We do not go back to the previous Shabbos at the end of Shvat, unless it falls out on a typical weekday. So that brings us to the end of our discussion about Rosh Chodesh Adar, when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out, and consequently, when do we read Shkalim? The next section now, take a deep breath, the next section now is more fun of the same variety. I'm sorry, guys. This is, for those of you who love calendars and things like this, you're going to have a field day. I know, Erwin, you're an accountant, so you must be enjoying this, right? Any other numbers people over here? All right, calendars are the bane of my existence. I try to do my best whenever calendars come up in the Gemara. It's probably good that we're not doing Rosh Hashanah. I think Rosh Hashanah has like a lot of calendar-oriented things.
Is there any significance to the fact that the 15th of Nisan, and we have a number of other significant days that are the 15th of the month, coincide with like April 15th, October 15th, and, you know, estimated tax payments on the 15th?
Very good. I thought, you know, what you were going to say was the Gemara has a gzer shava between the 15th of Tesvav, between Sukkot and Pesach. And we have a gzer shava in which we learn different din and different halachos. Like the first night is when you have to sit in the sukkah, and the first night of Pesach is the Seder, and that's where the Iker mitzvos are. So I don't know if there's a gzer shava.
It turns out, though, that the IRS paskins like Shmuel, because if April 15th is on a weekend, it's not due till the 17th or something, right? So it's Ma'achrin, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's a good practical application. I didn't even think about that. All right. Thankfully, I have a good accountant who knows exactly what he's doing, so I don't need to worry about these things. All right. So, B'Shnia Zachor. On the second week, we read Parshas Zachor. So, the question is, Itmar, right? So, Zachor makes sense. Zachor precedes Purim. Because remember, what's the point of all these parshios? These parshios are to give us an awareness of what's coming up next. So it's a little bit pointless. I mean, not pointless. You still be Mekayim and Mitzvah D'oraisa, Parsha Zachor. But it kind of misses the boat if we read Zachor after Purim. We want to read Zachor prior to Purim to build up the awareness of the theme of Purim. So Itmar, Purim Shechal Yos Be'erv Shabbos. What happens when Purim falls out on Erev Shabbos? So we had a lot of discussion about this in the first parak vis-a-vis Megillah reading, right? But just for this, the purpose of this Gemara, we have to recall that even though Megillah reading will get switched up, you're not going to have Purim on Erev Shabbos or on Shabbos itself. There still are other ways to be Mekayim the Mitzvah Purim. So even having a Suda is a fulfillment. So even if we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, anyone remember why we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos? Because you might come to go through Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. All right, see, Paul, I don't know. You're like, you might go to through Rosh Hashanah Rabbin and ask someone to teach you how to read it. So, but you can still have a Suda on Shabbos. You have the meal part on Shabbos for Meshulash. So, Rav Amar Magdim and Parsha Zachor. Rav says, again, you can see Rav and Shmuel are consistent. Rav says that, sorry, Charlie, Erev Shabbos ain't Shabbos. Doesn't make the cut. It's just another weekday. You know, I wonder if there's like some, by the way, some like Baal Machshava who like reads this and sees some like deeper machlokis between Rav and Shmuel about the essence of Friday. Is Friday considered more of a weekday, or is it already more Mechina Shabbos? I'm sure there's some guy who's like, you know, really darshaning this out. So Rav says consistently that we push Zachor back to the previous week. That way it precedes Purim, which is on Friday. Shmuel Amar Me'achrin. And Shmuel says that, no, same idea. Erev Shabbos is close enough to Shabbos, and we will read Parshas Zachor the coming Shabbos. Now, Rav Amar Magdiman, I understand Rav makes a lot of sense. Rav is much more intuitive. Why do we push Zachor all the way back? Because the Asiya should not become the Skira. Because it says, Niskarim V'Nasim, I believe are the words. Someone can correct me on that. We learn that you're supposed to first remember what occurred, and then you're supposed to do the Asiya, the deed. So Zachor, the Zachira, needs the remembrance, needs to come before the Asiya, the observance of Purim. So if you're going to observe Purim on Friday, and then you're going to read Zachor on Shabbos, you did things out of order. You reversed the order. So that makes sense why Rav shoots Zachor all the way back to the previous Shabbos if Purim is scheduled on a Friday. Ushmul Amar Ma'achlin, Shmuel says, nope, it's okay. You can postpone Zachor to even the Shabbos following Purim on Friday. Why? Well, because Amar Lach. You have to remember, there's 2 days of Purim, right? This is circling all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, in which we learned that in general, most places lain on the 14th, but walled cities lain on the 15th. So if Purim for most people on the 14th falls out on Friday, that means at least for the walled cities, they will be observing Purim on Shabbos. So they'll hear Parshas Zachor and Shul Shabbos morning, they'll go back for their meals and they'll fulfill the mitzvah of having a suda of Purim. So that way, the zechira, the commemoration, thereby precedes the asiya, the deed of having a suda Purim. So that's Shmuel's point. Not everyone is going to be able to do it. Communally, as Klal Yisrael, they'll be our representatives who fulfill doing it in the order of remembering and then do it. Okay. So now, the Shnia Zachor. So now we're going to try to resolve this based on our Mishnah. If we recall, it's going to be, by the way, the same exact pattern. Machlokis Rav and Shmuel. What happens when Parsha Zachor falls on Friday? Rav says you go back to the previous week. Shmuel says you push it 1 day later to the coming Shabbos. Then we're going to try to infer from our Mishnah whether Rav or Shmuel is correct. Shmuel is going to deflect, and then we're going to have a Brice as well. Shmuel is going to deflect. It's the same exact pattern as we just had, just with Parsha Zachor instead of Parsha Shkalim. Now, B'Shnia Zachor. So it says in our Mishnah that the second Shabbos is Zachor. So what can I make of that? V'ki Mikla Rish Yarta B'Shabbos. Well, in a case, the first case in the Mishnah, in which Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, and you read Parshas Shkalim on Shabbos, Mikla Purim, the Erev Shabbos, that just calendarically, you follow the calendar, if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, that means Purim will fall out on Erev Shabbos. And nonetheless, Ukatani B'Shnia Zachor. Nonetheless, the Mishnah tells us that the second week will be Zachor, which means that you push back Zachor to the eighth day of Adar, which means that hits the Shita of Rav, that we push back Zachor before Purim, even though Purim falls out on Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah seems to almost explicitly support Rav. So Amar Rav Papa, how can we defend Shmuel? My Shnia Lahafsaka. When the Mishnah talks about week number two, it means week number two after the break. Meaning, it doesn't mean that Zachor is literally the second week of the month, that it always has to follow Shkalim immediately. It means, and after you take a break 1 week, the second of the four Parshios will be Parsha Zachor. So again, no case in point to support Rav over Shmuel. Next, now we have a Braisa, which tries to determine one way or the other. Tashema, Ezo Shabbos Shnia, what is considered the second week? Kol Shechal Purim Liyos Besocha, Ve'afilu Be'erev Shabbos. So what's considered the second week, meaning that the beginning of the week on that Shabbos that we read Parsha Zachor, and as long as Purim falls out during that week. even, it says explicitly, black and white, even on Arab Shabbos, if it falls out, Zachor will precede it. Again, seems black and white to support Rav's contention that we always push Zachor back to the previous Shabbos, even if Purim falls out on Arab Shabbos. So what? So my law of Arab Shabbos, so we need to socha, masoch machdimen, av Arab Shabbos machdimen, Gemara spells it out for us. So that means Friday is slurred to the rest of the week, just like the rest of the week, Purim falls out middle of the week. We read Zachor the previous Shabbos, so too, even if Purim falls out on Friday, we read the previous Shabbos as well. Amar Shmuel, how would Shmuel respond to this? Same answer as before, but. Okay, time to be Shmuel, but. Shmuel rereads the Braisa just like we did last time. So I'll reread the Braisa. I'm going back a few words to read it like Shmuel would. We read as follows. Ezo Shabbos Shnia, what is considered the second Shabbos that we read Parshas Zachor, Kol Shechal Purim Lios Ba, Vachilar Shabbos. If Purim falls out on that very Shabbos, or even on Arab Shabbos, we read Zachor that Shabbos. Meaning by switching the word around a little bit, by erasing a few letters, then Bryce now supports Shmuel, who says, even if Purim falls out on Friday, we read Zachor the following day. Okay. Now, let's say, final case in this section over here. Until now, we've been discussing what happens if Purim falls out on Arab Shabbos. Now, can we at least get agreement when Purim falls out on Shabbos itself? Chal yos b'Shabbos atzma. What if Purim actually falls out on Shabbos? When do we read Parshas Zachor? Rav Huna, the Devarei Kol Imak Demon. Rav Huna says, here even Rav would concede that if it falls out on Shabbos itself, it'd be silly to send it all the way back to the previous Shabbos. If Purim actually falls out on Shabbos. However, Rav Nachman Amar, a dying Himach Lovitz. Nope. Rav is going to argue with Shmuel to the bitter end. Even if Purim falls out on Shabbos itself, you will still have to push Parshas Zachor all the way back to the previous Shabbos. And in fact, Amar Nami, Amar Rabbi Hiya, Amar Abba, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav. We actually have a tradition that Rav himself said, Purim Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, if Purim falls out even on Shabbos itself, Machdim Kriv B'Shabbos Sh'Avra Zachor, we read Parshas Zachor the previous week. So now, okay, so end of Parshas Zachor. Good. You tick off the boxes. We talked about Parshas Shkel. That's what we start off with today. We just went through a lot of discussion about Parshas Zachor. Tick off the box. What do we got left?
Torah
and
Chodesh.
Thank you. Torah and Chodesh. So let's do Parah. Parah is going to be very short. It's not going to be as windy as we just did, short and sweet. And then we'll wrap up with a brisa at the end of the Gemara, which will actually very conveniently summarize everything for us. It's almost as if Chazal knew we needed a summary at the end. God knows I need one. All right. So, Bashlishis Parah Aduma. On the third Shabbos, we read about Parah Aduma. Tana Rabbanan. Ezohi Shabbos Shlishis. What, so now we have a brisa. What is the third Shabbos? Kol shesmucha lepurim me'achareha. When do we read Parshas Parah? The brisa tells us we read it the Shabbos following Purim, right? Zachor precedes Purim, and Parah follows Purim. Now again, we're reading it, Parah, as Rashi gives us the language, lismuch asharas tmeim lepesach. So that as we're approaching Pesach, we know that we're supposed to become aware of the purity laws. Imar Rechama Bar Chanit Rabbi Chanina Amar Shabbos Hasmuchel Rosh Chodesh Nisan. No, when do you read Parshas Parah? The week Shabbos right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So we got an issue here. We have a brisa which tells us that Parshas Parah is the Shabbos that immediately follows Purim. We have Amora who's telling us, who seems to be disagreeing with the Braisa, who's telling us that when we read Parshas Parah, the Shabbos right before Chodesh Nisan. So I don't get it. What is my mandate? Do I read it right after Purim or do I read it right before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? For Lo Pligi, Gemara says they are not in contradiction. It just matters what kind of scenario we are addressing. So ha de'ikla Rosh Chodesh Nisan b'Shabbos. The case of Racham Bar Chanina is when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out on Shabbos. And ha de'ikla b'emtsa ha'Shabbos. Whereas the Brice is addressing the case of what happens when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out in middle of the week. What happens when Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls out in middle of the week? That means Parshas Chodesh is going to have to be pushed back to the previous Shabbos, which means that Purim will have to be pushed back another week, which means it comes out right after Purim. So it just matters when Chodesh falls out, whether Chodesh falls out on Rosh Chodesh itself, that's what ultimately affects when Parshas Purim is read. Okay, there we go. 3 out of 4. We're done with Purim. So guys, it's been a very long, windy road tonight. I have to tell you, my head has been spinning as I reread the Gemara a few times before sitting down with you. And when I got to this Braisa, I was so thankful because my head was spinning from all the different calculations and what goes where and when. So this Braisa is going to do us a favor as a Matana, and it's going to give us a summary. Guys, even if you didn't follow everything until now, I'm sure you did. I'm sure I'm just the only one who has difficulty, but if somehow you didn't follow everything until now, this, God willing, will give us a nice summary of everything, and then your beautiful art school Gemaras even have a visual aid, which I personally found very useful. So here we go. For Vias Akosha Selakan, Tanur Rabbanan. By the way, not only is this Bryson going to give us a summary, but it's also going to very explicitly paskin like Rav. Okay, so we conclude like Rav that when Parsha Shkale, Parsha Zachor, whatever it is, falls on an Erev Shabbos, we push it back. Sorry, Rosh Chodesh or Purim falls on Erev Shabbos, we push Golem slash Zachor back to the previous one. So you'll see that right now. Tanur Rabbanan, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shekhalah Shabbos. Okay, let's go in order, guys. When Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, Korin Kisisa Maftir Bo Yada, we read Kisisa, which is Parsha Shkalim, and we have the Haftorah of Yo Yada. And what constitutes the first week for these purposes, the first of the that has the first of the Arba Parshios, Kosher Kal Rosh Chodesh Adar Lios Besocha. V'afilu b'Erev Shabbos, as long as Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out sometime during the week, even on Erev Shabbos, the previous Shabbos constitutes the first of the Arba Parshios where we read Shkalim. Next, Bashnia, the second week after Shkalim, Zachor, we read Parsha Zachor, Maftir and Pakadati, and Haftorah is Pakadati. The Ezer Yishavis Shnia, and what constitutes the second week of the Arba Parshios? Kol Shekal Purim Lios Besocha. What determines it is whether Purim falls out in that week. Vafil of Erev Shabbos, even on Erev Shabbos, as long as Purim falls out sometime on a weekday, even Erev Shabbos, the previous Shabbos is Parshas Zachor, which is the second of the Arba Parshios. Next, Bashlishis, the third Parsha is Ara Aduma. Umaftirin v'zarakti aleichem, and that's the Haftorah. V'ezo yishavish shlishis, and what constitutes the third week of the Arba Parshios? Kol shesmucha lepurim me'achareha. Whatever week follows Purim is generally when we read Parshas Parah. And then, finally, Baravias Achodesh Hazeh, we read the Parsha Achodesh Hazeh Lechem, Maftirin Koamar Shem Lekim B'Rishon Bechad Lachodesh. And that is, Achodesh Hazeh Lechem is the final reading, turning the page, turning the Amud. The Ezo Yishavis Ravias, and what makes something the fourth week of the Arba Parshios, Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Nisan Lios Besocha, it's determined by the fact that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is coming up in that week, we read Parshas HaChodesh before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Vafil b'Erev Shabbos, even if Rosh Chodesh Nisan falls on Erev Shabbos, the Parsha of HaChodesh will be the Shabbos preceding that. So there you go. That Braisa gives us a full summary of what we need to know for the bottom line. Very useful. And I'm not going to go through it, but basically, again, those of you, I think most of you have an art scroll. I imagine it's in my edition. I imagine it's probably in your edition. Has a really great visual, which gives us, based on this very lengthy
Rabbi, what looking at the chart, they've got these like Zatu, Dad, Bo, Uvio. What do those mean?
So it's all in Rashi. It's basically I even look at this. Rashi explains it. Where's the Rashi? Zavda is a similar source of six parshios. And Zatu Bo it's in Rashi here somewhere.
The Dalet is like Wednesday. It's like the days of the week.
Oh, right? That's what it is. Oh, so well.
So what are the other ones?
How's Tess the day of the week though? 1 second. Let's take a look.
It's the day of the week and then the day of the month. The English, the art scroll explains it's confusing, but
yeah, I mean, basically these are symbols that kind of indicate the different
here. But like the Dalet, you see that Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Wednesday, so that's in the diagram on the upper left, right?
Yeah. So here Zatu, for instance, Zatu means if Rosh Chodesh falls out on the seventh, like Henry said, like on the seventh day of the week on Shabbos, then that means the Shabbos that we're going to take a break will be on the 15th of the month. So the test above, so the first is the day that Rosh Chodesh falls out, the seventh day of the week, Zion. And the test above is the day of the month on the calendar when we take a break that Shabbos. I wouldn't get too caught up in that, but basically it's just a way of coding these different combinations.
And I think, Rabbi, under the now that the calendar is preset, those are the only four permutations that can come up.
Yeah. Yes. That's all you're saying, because if we had back in the good old days where you Makaish the Chadashim, then there'd be a lot more variation.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Should maybe confess him, right? All right. Rabosai, that's the end for tonight. I shared with you some interesting insights at the beginning based on the Aliyos. I figured if we could get through all of this, probably Dayenu, and we are at 7:50. All right. Shkach, everyone. Wishing you all a wonderful Shabbos. Hopefully we'll have time to rejuvenate after this year. Okay. Take care.
Very good. Good job.